sorry about that. Acts chapter 27, if you will, while they bring the recorder.
Exercise.
You need the exercise, Sharon. That's good. Acts chapter 27, if you'll just find it in your Bible. Well, it's interesting that this is the opening written when the storm that we're having wasn't yet on us. If it were not for the storms of life, we would not be able to know in daily experience that God's grace is sufficient. The Apostle Paul said, "My grace is sufficient." And now I want to read that again. If it were not for the storms of life, we would not be able to know in daily living that His grace is sufficient. Now, you know, folks, that's absolutely true. And yet, when we are in the midst of a storm, it's like the disciples that were in the boat on the Sea of Galilee in the storm. He was in the boat, though he was asleep. Not because he didn't care, but they were still panicked. And we, if anybody would think to take them to task for panicking, I just urge you to look in the mirror. What I just read is absolutely true. If it were not for the storms of life, we would not know what it is to have His sufficient grace.
That is right. Yes, sir.
Nevertheless, until we get to that point where we are really depending on His grace, the storm looks like it's going to do us in. And we ought not to look down on anybody who's having a struggle in their storm. And we need to be careful that we don't let the devil look down on us when we're struggling in a storm. Because the devil would delight so much for us to give up in the time of storm. The Bible teaches that there are three kinds of storms. One, storms we bring on ourselves, like Samson and his self-induced troubles. Now, in the end, God used him. And even along the way, God used him. But I'm telling you, it was in spite of Samson, not because of him.
Yes, sir.
We can thank God when He uses us in spite of ourselves. And then there's a second kind of storm, the storm that God causes or permits. And sometimes it is that He causes a storm because of what He wants to do. Oh, but would a loving God bring something that isn't nice into my life? Yep.
That's right.
Remember the man Job? You say, well, God didn't cause those things. He just permitted them. You can split hairs on words if you want. But the old adage, a rose by any other name smells the same. When you're in the midst of the storm, whether He's caused it or permitted it doesn't make it any less. I guess what's on my mind Right now I'm having difficulty with sanctimonious, self-righteous people who know all of the right terminology. And they can spew out the right terminology, but with almost zero compassion.
That's right. Mm. Yeah, that's good.
With those who are struggling.
Yep. Yep.
I wish I was a singer, because there's an excellent song. He gives peace in the midst of the storm. He gives peace in the midst of a storm-tossed life. Let me take you over here and let you into the backside thinking of my mind. I really wish he would just take the storm away. I know he'll give strength through it. That's the right answer. And that's an accurate answer. When I sit in my chair in my office and I'm praying, and I don't have a lot of health issues. You generally know that. But when it comes to praying for Pat, I'll say, now Lord, I know you'll give her strength through it. And I know if that's your will, that's the best way. But Lord, this other part of me, it just doesn't want to see her have to struggle with that. And so I can't, Father, I can't pray against your will. I wouldn't want to do that. And so, God, I really don't know how to say what I'm thinking. And so I said, Lord, just help. And that's where I end up so many times, just saying help, because I don't know how to express it. Because I know what is theologically, actually, biblically correct, and I want to be in line with that. Well, part of me wants to be in line with that.
Sure.
Oh, man, I've got something else I've got to talk to the Lord about. Lord, so then we go from praying, like in this case for her, and then we go into praying, Lord, not you got to help me, because I'm beginning to think in directions that I know I shouldn't think, and I don't want to think, but Lord, you know me. Ever been there?
Oh, yeah, sir.
Ever had that kind of dilemma? And I guess that's why today, at least, maybe come tomorrow it might be different, but today at least I'm having trouble with sanctimonious, self-righteous people who know all of the answers,
yes,
but don't know compassion and understand. So we have the storms we bring on ourselves, like Samson. We have the storms that God causes and permits, like Job. And then there's storms, the third one, storms that other people cause. Oh, those are the rough ones. Okay. Storms that other people cause, such as Paul and Silas when they were thrown into prison in Philippi. It was other people making trouble for him, making false accusations,
right.
and they got him in trouble. And you know, I know what we read in the book of Acts about that. They were sitting in jail, and they were having the biggest pity party that anybody ever had. As a matter of fact, they were singing at their pity party. No, it doesn't talk about a pity party. It just talks about them singing and praising the Lord. And then I think to myself, Father, I have to get there. I've got to get to that spot where
I'm going to be singing in the midst of the storm-tossed life. And boy, those words are awful close in my mind, but I can't bring them up, the words of that song. There's peace in the midst of the storm. And so, you know, it's hard to take when you're an innocent party and others get you in trouble. So we have those three kinds of storm. Storms, troubles, crisis. They don't play favorites. They come to all of us. Each of us has something different by way of a crisis to deal with. Different types of crisis. And different ones of us have different ways that we deal with crisis. Some of that comes out of your personality. You know, there's easygoing, laid-back people. And you got uptight, wound tighter than a top kind of people. Okay? And different kinds of people. And those are just the two most obvious ones. And they handle crisis differently. And then you have other kinds of people and how they handle crisis. Now don't confuse somebody who is laid back and easygoing and they have a crisis. Be careful that you don't confuse how they're handling it with spirituality. You say, well, maybe they are spiritual. Yeah, maybe they are. All I'm saying is that different personalities handle crisis in different ways. Now, all of us, regardless of our personality and makeup, need to depend on the Spirit of God to handle a crisis. And so, how do you stay calm? How do we maintain confidence? How do we have courage in storms? God put Paul as a prisoner on board a ship headed for Rome. And this in itself was granting a desire that the Apostle Paul had in his heart. He wanted to preach in Rome. The accommodations were just not what Paul may have envisioned when he thought about going to Rome. We've got to turn to it. Acts chapter 27, if you will. Oh, I already told you that. You're already there. I'm the one that's not. All right, Acts chapter 27 and verse 7. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind was not suffering us. We sailed under Crete over against Salome, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was a city of Lycia. Now, a map would be marvelous here, but I knew I wouldn't have time for it, so I'm not going to endeavor it. Now, when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, giving a time reference in the season is what he's doing. Paul admonished them. Paul said to the owner of the ship and the sailors and to the soldiers, and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also our lives. But the centurion, nevertheless, believed his master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven, that is where they were at, the Fair Haven, was not commodious to winter in, they didn't have the accommodations they would have liked, the more part advised to depart thence. And so they left, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia, that place there, and there to winter, which is in Haven of Crete, and lieth, now this is rough, lieth toward the southwest and northwest. Pastor, what might that mean? Lieth to the southwest and the northwest.
When I found it, I didn't have time to check it out. How can it be southwest and northwest?
I think it's going around the island, I guess.
Oh, okay, that may be the case. It puzzled me. Okay, and when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. Now, we got to move along. Impatience. Impatience often gets us in trouble. Impatience causes failure to check things out with God, getting his direction and approval. And so, three common reasons why we get ourselves in a mess. Whether it's the year 2000 and your experience in the book of Acts, or whether it's today, human nature has not changed. Three common reasons. Number one, we can get wrong guidance from the experts. And I put experts in quotes. The centurion listened to the ship's owner and pilot rather than Paul. And we might think, well, that's logical, but it was not correct. Okay? It was logical, but it was not correct. All kinds of books, seminars, clinics on how to succeed. And some of these, in many situations, can be helpful. Maybe it's in marriage. Maybe it's in parenting. Maybe it's in finances. Maybe in witnessing. All different kinds of subjects. Books, seminars to go to, DVDs to buy. And they can be helpful, please. Please, they can be helpful. But what is the key to life? What is the key to life? Well, everybody knows it's to eat yogurt and bananas. You eat yogurt and bananas and you're going to be on top of it. Or you really want to get with it? You sit in a strange, distorted, unnatural position and go, yoga. Yoga. There was a time when Christians knew that yoga had to do with Eastern mysticism, and I understand there is an exercise aspect. But pray tell, you mean to say you cannot get exercise any other way than by yoga effectively? Oh, it's the popular thing. There's the secret. It's the popular thing. Okay, and everybody knows. Now here's today's. Here's health drinks. You get, what is that one I hear advertised on the radio? Texas something food, Black Texas black food, something in Texas in it. Okay, it's made up of 300 vegetables. I didn't know there were 300 vegetables.
V8.
Okay, and V8 only has probably 8 or 9 in it, but. And so, you know, health drinks. You can get all kinds of health drinks. I mean, shelf upon shelf upon shelf of health drinks. The kind you make in a blender. And everybody knows that the Ninja blender is going to make them much better than any other blender. And it's going to help the ones who sell Ninja blenders to be in a lot better condition. And so, health drinks. You can go down to GNC and you can get the ones you shake in a bottle, okay? You can get to, that's a TV commercial, you know, show some muscular bound guy shaking a health drink, and then you have the guy who's got the V8, that's what made me think of this, and of course he just pops a can open and drinks it, and the other guy is still shaking and still doesn't have it ready to drink. And so, but the important thing here is health drinks. Okay, everybody knows the key to life is what you eat. You are what you eat. So what am I? I'm a pizza. Do you see it? Do you see my eyes are pepperoni? Yeah. Many keep looking for experts who agree with them, looking not for counsel, but for substantiation. on what they think.
Yeah,
I like what Dr. Tom Malone, who's now in heaven, what he said, and I quote, "An expert is any other spurt away from home." Okay? And he also said, an expert, X is the unknown factor, and spurt is a little drip that makes a big splash. Yeah, the experts. Well, I like the way Paul put it in Acts 27 and verse 21. "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss." You know what Paul said? "I told you so."
Yeah.
You know, there's sometimes where what we need to hear is, "I told you so." Now, I don't mean the kind that's going to rub it in our face, but the kind that says, "You were given different counsel. You were given different advice. If you had followed it, your situation would probably be different." That's what Paul is saying. And then the second thing here, you get wrong guidance from experts, you can get wrong guidance from a vote. Look at verse 11 and 12. In verse 11 and 12, "Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which Paul spoke." You know, the majority is often wrong. Moses, when he began to lead the people of Israel, most wanted to go back to Egypt, but they were wrong. The 12 spies that went into Canaan, 10, the majority, large majority, they were wrong. And so popularity, prevailing opinion, does not make things automatically right. And that's not to infer that therefore the minority is the way to go. I'm not saying that. The way to go is the way that God's word counsels. Whether it's a majority or a minority, is this thing in agreement with the word of God? And then thirdly, there's wrong guidance from circumstances. Oh my, look at verse 13 in chapter 27. "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose," they wanted to sail. Paul said, "This is the time of year, it's not wise to sail. We really better stay in Fair Havens." But then the soft winds blew, and they thought, "We were right. We got the wind on our side." And they set out. They set out. And what could be better than a Mediterranean cruise with a gentle south wind breezes? Well, they turned, didn't they? It is not wise to ignore what God says, even if circumstances look favorable. Now, I'm going to repeat that because we all need to hear it. We are so prone to be led by circumstances. Circumstances is something that God will use, but it's third on the list. And those circumstances have to be supported by what's first on the list, God's word. And what's second on the list is counsel from godly people. Then circumstances come into play. But too many times, because we want what we want, they did not want to stay in Fair Haven. They wanted to go to a nicer port, bigger bars, softer beds. Who knows what they wanted? And so they left out. They left out. Things may look right, but you could be sailing into a storm. Please listen to this. Please listen. Don't push ahead. Wait on God.
Oh, brothers, yes, sir.
Just because you can get something that appears to be good, or at least is what you would like to happen, does not mean that it's okay and the thing that ought to happen. Wait on God.
Yes, sir. Well, you can't say that enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this decision must be okay. I feel good about it. Or how could it be wrong? It feels so right. Wait on the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Be of good courage, I say. Wait on the Lord. I know of some folks that had something they wanted. Now, this is years ago, okay? They wanted something. They prayed about it. They pursued it. And it didn't happen. But it felt like the right thing. It felt like a good thing. And so rather than wait on the Lord, they pushed ahead. And now with hindsight, I'm able to say what I suspected was the case at the time, but we all know hindsight is clearer. They made it happen. And it brought great heartache. It brought many problems. And it would have been better had they not gotten what they wanted. An evangelist that Fords and Falks have heard already, and I don't know, maybe you were there at camp meeting, a Leon Foote. Okay, he preached an excellent message one time, and I need to find the text of it. I found it, I just don't remember it. Got what they wanted, lost what they had.
Oh, that mercy, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't have his message, so I'll have to make my own up to preach it. A bummer. But it's so true. Many times we get what we wanted, we lost what we had.
Yes.
When we push against God, when we push against the way that He is apparently leading us, if God says, wait in the harbor, you'd better wait.
That's exactly
in the harbor.
Yes, sir.
There's so many things. You can do it later, and it isn't going to make a problem to do it later. But if you do it early, problems can come with it. It's like one old fella is in heaven now, and regarding so many movements, this was said regarding, oh man, I forget, it just slipped my mind. There was an evangelistic campaign that was going on across the country, a movement, and he said, I'll tell you what, Roger. He said, you know, regarding these bandwagons that come along, he said, you know, you can always get on it later. But he said, if you get on it too soon, it can be hard to get off of it.
Yes.
He said, you can bring something into the church, and then it can be hard to get out of it. Where he said, there's usually no problem with bringing it in later when you've been able to see it, evaluate it, understand it, make sure it is what it appears to be, and so on. So, calm, courage, confidence in the midst of storms. Father in heaven, I pray you lead us and guide us in just such a matter. In Jesus' name, amen.
Brother, now, why don't you call again?
Yeah, I'm just going to ask for a couple of men to lead us.